Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for
Issues of Today.
Coming to you live. Here he is,
your host, Taj Longino.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Issues of the Day Talk Radio. It's your host, Taj Longino, the new voice of the people. Hey, well, today we're sitting down with a very, very prestigious young fella, African-American male who's doing a lot for the community as far as film production. He writes, he directs, he produces, he's even in his own movie. And he's going to talk about his project called Pieces of a Dream. I actually had the chance to meet this individual by the name of Ski Skinner, and I actually purchased one of his the movie Pieces of a Dream and the soundtrack, and was highly impressed with both of them. So basically we're going to be sitting down and talking with him today. But while we're getting ready to talk to him, get the phone conversation ready, I want you guys to listen to one of his songs off the soundtrack Pieces of a Dream. The song is actually called Pieces of a Dream by David Bailey. Once again, listen to Issues of the Day Talk Radio. Here we go.
All I can do, let my heart be the guide.
Yeah, that was Pieces of a Dream by David Bailey from the movie Pieces of a Dream, written, produced, directed by Ski Skinner. And as we wait for him to call on in to the show, we want to definitely want to say, as far as what I saw in the movie and the soundtrack itself, I mean, he definitely has something here that needs to be noticed and talked about, and we definitely need to go out and support what he's doing. While we wait for him to call on into the show, I just want to tell everybody, if you want to call in and ask him a question about his movie, his soundtrack, how to get into one of his movies during auditions, or what the criteria are, you can call into the show at 347-326-9697. If you want to email me anything about this show or any question that you have for him, definitely at issuesofthedayyahoo.com. All right? It's Gunner.
Hey, what's happening, Taj?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Oh, man, doing great. And yourself, man?
I'm doing fine, man. Just got done playing Pieces of a Dream by David Bailey.
Oh, yeah, right on.
Yeah, we definitely want to throw in a few songs throughout our conversation for this hour, but I just want to give people a piece of the soundtrack as well as how it all came about, the movie and so forth.
Sure.
But, first, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself to the world, man. Tell everybody who Ski Skinner is.
Oh, no doubt. Ski Skinner, I'm a feature filmmaker from Southern Illinois, and out promoting and marketing my feature film, Pieces of a Dream. Looking forward to getting started on my next project, Deeper Shade of Blue, toward the turn of the year. Everybody hit the website, www.one-waproductions.com. Peep out the trailer, sample the soundtrack, and cop the DVD and CD. See what we're about, see what we're doing with this conscious film movie.
How did you get started with all this? How did you come into filmmaking, writing, directing? And this is actually, and tell us about your first film that you put together first. How did you come, the two-part thing, how did you start out doing this? How did you come about doing this, and then about your first movie that you produced?
Sure, man. Ever since I was a kid, man, I always had a creative bug in me because I collected comic books as a kid, wrote plays, did a lot of things like that. And I watched a lot of movies with my mother, who was like one of my biggest, you know, pushers, per se, my mother and my father. So the bug was in me from a kid up. And when I got the opportunity to go to college, I went to a school called Millikan University over in Decatur, Illinois. And really, it was about getting my hands on the equipment to learn the art of making movies by straight up just making movies. So being exposed in that environment allowed me the opportunity to turn over a lot of projects, from student films to music videos, commercials, and the whole nine. So I was kind of learning the art of filmmaking by doing it, you know. And then I had the opportunity to bump into some cats who was basically making a feature film. It was the people that did Mobsters and Goodfellas, because a couple of the people that worked on that set were alumni of Millikan, so they took me under their wing. I was able to get on those Hollywood sets, see how it's done on that side. So I applied all those abilities into doing my thing, which ultimately led to me doing my first full-length feature called Vacant Lot. And we shot that film in 98, ended up getting a 3.5-year distribution deal with BET, Encore, Stars, a lot of the cable channels, and it put me out there to get a shot. And Vacant Lot did well. It was like a number one movie on the cable tip for like 6 months straight. And that kind of set the plate for me to do some other things and eventually led to the film we're speaking about now, Pieces of a Dream. And, you know, again, learning the business by, you know, going through the paces, basically. You learn what to do and what not to do. And that's what led me to create my own distribution arm for Pieces of a Dream, which is what we're doing with this film right here.
Yeah, how did you come about Pieces of a Dream? What made you come up with the title? What made you come up with the whole idea about Pieces of a Dream?
Sure. I mean, my partner, Paul Branton, he actually went to Millikan with me, and he was a couple years underneath me. So me and this cat, we've been writing together since 91. And we always had a collection of short stories that we had put together and we wanted to do something with. And kind of what went down, we were going in another direction at the time we started to shoot Pieces of a Dream. and we kind of had got into a, like a legal entanglement with the story we wanted to do. So we kind of collected our short stories we had, put them all together, kind of like a collage. And we came up with the title Pieces of a Dream because it was all pieces of this short story that we had. And we wanted to stick with a theme. And that theme was about, does sin have weight? Is there a weight to sin, per se? Not necessarily looking at putting together a religious piece. We were looking more at a moralistic piece to make people think, look at themselves in the mirror. So we picked four stories, wove those stories together into a common theme. And that's kind of how everything started to evolve. Once we started stringing things together, it took on a life of its own. And, you know, we feel we made a masterpiece in terms of putting something out to make people think on the conscience tip.
Now, on the, I remember I told you this, and I actually looked at the DVD. I watched it again today before we, before we sat down and talked. And I've always, my opinion on it was, I think I told you this already. You have a Quentin Tarantino slash Spike Lee style. Like, you have all these different, anybody ever watched Pulp Fiction, you have these different stories, and they go back and forth, and then you get to the conclusion at the end. You know, that pretty much, do you agree with that? I mean, you know where I'm going with that? Like, if you have to really, you have to sit down and really watch it. You just can't, it's not one of the movies that you can watch and then go grab something to eat and go call on the phone and come back. You still know what's going on. You actually got to sit down and watch it. And I honestly, you know, I actually sat down. Pieces of a Dream to me is one of the movies that you won't lose any interest from the moment it started to the end. It's going to keep you watching, like, okay, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? All right, why is happening? And that's what I pretty much, I didn't move away from the couch.
No, I appreciate
the whole time
it,
I was watching. You know, I mean, seriously, some movies that you get, they bore you.
Sure.
You're like, this is all right. You know, I'll finish watching it later. Now, Pieces of a Dream is one of the movies that you're going to wait to see. Because everybody, it's, like you said, there's all these short stories put together with the preacher, with the painter, with the young lady's son and her. Everybody has their own drama.
Mm-hmm.
So you're waiting to see how everybody's drama is going to unfold.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So, what made you? Now, I do have a question about the ending.
Sure. A lot of people feel different about the ending. You get that a lot of times, man.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh my God, is it over? I said, no, it's not over. I know it's going to be something else. It must be a part two coming. what made y'all come up with that for that? For the ending.
Well, the thing I like to say, man, is like the flicks that I make, I like to interact with my audience who's watching the movie and make them do some thinking and make them do kind of some writing of their own, per se, to draw conclusions from. So I didn't want to, like, spell it all out to people and just, bam, put it in your lap. I wanted to keep it open-ended where a person can kind of, you know, presume some things for themselves along the way. And without, I don't want to ruin it for the people that haven't seen it, you know.
Right.
The end, it was really, I wanted to hit people with a gut shot because it wasn't a happy ending. We know that, you know. But
right.
it was definitely some things that happen that we see every day in the news today or you hear about. Or some of us even have people that have experienced, you know, different things of that magnitude. So what I kind of wanted to do was really leave it out there in the open. The bad guy may have looked like he won, per se, but it doesn't always go down that way. There's another side to the game that we all have to, you know, deal with, and I wanted people kind of to put that together for themselves, that maybe the bad guy, you know, didn't really win, per se. But it's an ending for you, though.
Yeah, if you're like me, I'm a movie buff.
I
love action, comedy, suspense, thrillers. So I can pretty much, I'll see the end. I know how what the end is going to be. But I was looking for that, though. I was looking for, you know what I mean? I was looking for that type of end. I was like, oh, man, they twisted up on me. But it was a very well-put-together movie. And I wanted to know, you know, how has the support been for that project and previous projects that you've done and to where you're at now? I mean, how has the support been from the African-American side of things where, you know, that we pretty much, you know, we support what you're recognize what you're doing. You know, you're soon to be the next biggest thing.
Oh yeah, we working, man. I mean, we've been getting love. I mean, pretty much worldwide. But the way that we're distributing this, like it's like, you know, when I rapped to you about a week ago when we met, man, I came out on a limited theatrical release. We hit 8 major markets at first to build things up, and from there, being your own distributor, obviously I didn't have the Hollywood money to stay the course in terms of the theater, so I had to create an outlet to be able to get it into the hands of the people. And the way I was able to do that was, again, to be able to distribute it through the internet where people could hit the website, purchase the soundtrack, purchase the film, also bringing it directly to the people by traveling from city to city, promoting and pushing, and also setting up an 800 customer service number where people could purchase from, you know, worldwide. Our 800 number is, you know, 888-418-8637, and customer service reps are there to take calls and take orders. So we've been able to get it out, you know, to the people. It's a little different road we're taking, but since we released it on DVD and released the soundtrack, we moved about 35,000 units since December of 2007, which is pretty good on the independent tip. You know,
right.
We're getting it out into the hands of the people. So, and a moniker that I like to always use, I say I want to be the people's champ. So the only way to be the people's champ is to take it directly to the people, and that's what I'm trying to do in this year of change. We're dealing with the Obama thing. There's a lot of things that's happening on the positive in terms of being an African-American, and I'm just trying to put my money where my mouth is, man, you know, just by taking it directly to the people, making it accessible, making it affordable. And we've been able to, you know, get it to cats in France, in Russia, the UK, Japan, Africa. I mean, the list goes on and on because people are hitting the internet. They're hitting that website. We've generated close to 2 million hits to our website in about a year's time because we've been out there promoting and marketing this thing. And it takes time, as you know, to build up the Tyler Perry type numbers. I mean, but again, he has a studio behind him. You know, this here is really a grassroots effort that's built on a labor of love. So, yeah, the people, they're coming to us, man. But, you know, you got to do it by any means necessary. And believe me, I adopt that philosophy.
Yeah, I think you did mention something about it being affordable. And I bought the CD and the DVD for about $23.
Mm-hmm. The combo pack that you purchased, it was the DVD and CD, $23 together. Or the people can get them individually for $13 each. You know, so, I mean, you know, just by pricing DVDs and CDs in the store, brand new DVDs, $19 to $24 in the store. You
exactly.
know, brand new CDs, $15. So, you know,
now, as far as
trying to keep it real.
Now, we all know that a lot of businesses, a lot of independent contractors and various companies have taken a major hit with, you know, the gas prices, with the recession, with the cost of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Has that slowed you down any, or have you still been able to has it slowed you down any, or are you still been able to move without it really stopping you?
Well, I mean, you know, we all take a hit when it comes, you know, to that. I mean, obviously nobody loves the prices being what they are on that gas tip. But, again, when I say I want to be the people's champ, man, you know, if I'm not sacrificing and I'm asking someone else to sacrifice, then I'm being a hypocrite. So, you know, I put my money where my mouth is. I hit the road, you know, and I have soldiers in other cities that, you know, I've linked with. And as we start to go along, that's that whole conscious film movement that we speak of. When we start a movement, it starts kind of like that snowball rolling down the side of a hill, and as you keep building momentum, obviously it gets bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger, and that's what we're doing. We're really leaning on the people to, you know, pass the word along to someone else once they see the movie, let someone else know how they can get the movie through the website, through the 800 number, or when we come to the different cities, you know. So it's been cool. I mean, I take a hit like anybody, but I try to make up for it in terms of getting the product to the people, and it offsets that. But it's been love, man. I've been getting love.
All right, this is Keith Tanner. Sit down with Issues of the Day Talk Radio right now. If you guys got a question for him, call into the show, man. 347-326-9697. If you want to hold on, just say we're gonna play another song from the soundtrack. This track is called Forbidden Love by Tiffany Greer. We want to thank everybody again for listening to Issues of the Day Talk Radio. Here's Forbidden Love from Tiffany Greer. Thanks for calling Issues of the Day Talk Radio. What's your comment or question?
Is Mr. Skinner going to start working on his next movie now that he has a couple of them under his belt?
Yes, I hear you. What we're doing, we're looking at starting on our next film around the turn of the year, around January. It's entitled Deeper Shade of Blue, and it's a murder mystery drama. We're pretty much going to be doing our casting out of the city of Chicago, but yes, we're definitely looking at starting the next film around the turn of the year.
Okay, Carlos, if you can just not to cut you off, if you want to just hold this for a second, I want to get this song played out, and then we'll come back to you for your further questions with Mr. Ski Skinner.
Yeah.
that was Forbidden Love by Tiffany Grew off the soundtrack of Pieces of a Dream. Caller, you still there? Ski, I know you're there. Caller, you still there?
Almost deaf. I'm here.
I wonder if my other caller was still there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Cause, I think they've gone. Ski, actually, man, I want to read some of these comments, these quotes from different people around the country who checked out this movie.
Oh, sure.
The Chicago Sun-Times said this was an extremely interesting movie. Brandon Brooks in Los Angeles said, I was absolutely blown away. I forgot I was watching a film.
Mm-hmm.
Another comic from Philadelphia, PA, was, wow, I was very impressed with your work. Comment from the Caribbean, I ordered this movie safely over the internet and it arrived in 5 days, which means it's good business.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You buy something, you get it. And it's confidential, and it was a unique, thought provocative, extremely interesting, and well done.
Mm-hmm.
You will be talking about this film for a very long time after watching, and you'll want everyone else to see it. Trust me. And that's a quote coming out of the Caribbean. So I mean, you went from L.A. to Philadelphia to the Caribbean.
Oh, definitely, man. We trying to. It's like I said, it's a worldwide movement. I mean, we call it the conscious film movement. And we're reaching people. If it takes one at a time, I'm going to be there, Tosh.
Yeah, we have another comment from Toronto, Canada. Watching Pieces of a Dream made me feel so many emotions and got me to thinking about life choices with much deeper thoughts than I've ever had. I was angry, sad, amazed, shocked. That's kind of how I was looking at that. That's crazy. That's how I was, you go through different emotions about, you know, the priest and his molestation allegations.
Oh, yeah.
You go with the painter, he was like a loner.
Mm-hmm.
He was a loner, and all of a sudden, you know, he meets this woman, and, you know, with being a loner, you have different mixed emotions. Anybody comes to your life, your heart is not telling you, you know, your mind is kind of playing with you, and that's what happened to him. And we're not going to say what happened to him because I want everybody out there to watch the movie.
Oh, no doubt.
But, I mean, this different. I mean, you as I'm reading these, you know, these comments from different people all over the United States and over the country, you got a person here from Japan was saying that Pieces of a Dream was an experience that I had to share with my son.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Pieces of a Dream is out there touching lives.
Oh, yeah.
And let me get to this other call. I'm going to see what this other call has to say here.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling Issues of the Day.
Hi. I had a comment or a question. How would he, Mr. Skinner, encourage young people who know they want to direct but just don't know exactly what to do? How would you encourage or direct them? What would you tell them?
Sure. What I basically tell them, ma'am, again, is try to surround yourself with friends or people who have some of the same, like, goals or ideas they have. There's a lot of jobs out there behind the camera. Every job doesn't have to be in front of the camera. So I encourage kids to write, to read, access video cameras, you know, that are accessible. They have a lot of public access channels in various cities that I encourage kids to get their hands on equipment and learn the art of making films by just making movies. I mean, you have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And your actors and actresses can be your brothers and sisters to start. So, you know, as you move along, it's that old adage of each one teach one. And that's the way you ultimately get there.
I have a question to go along right along with what she said. Let's say I'm sitting around and I say, you know, I'm gonna write me a script out,
mm-hmm.
and I write this whole script out. Well, the average person who hasn't gone to school or know any education about filmmaking, they don't know the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody like that, what would be the next step so they don't get their movie stolen from them? They're able to find certain funding, how to go about casting. What would be the necessary steps they need to take after putting together a script?
Sure. The first things you want to do is obviously copyright your material. And the way you can go about that is submitting it to the Library of Congress in D.C. All that information is available for free on the Internet. If you just, you know, put the Library of Congress in your search category, it'll come up, and they'll pretty much walk you through the steps in terms of getting your script copywritten. I think it's a $30 fee that you send off along with your script. So that's your first area of protection. And from there, after you get it protected, you want to try to go about trying to, you know, solicit or obtain some form of capital to make your movie. And when I say that, I'm not saying go out and get $400,000 or $500,000, because everybody can't do that. what I'm saying is, you know, get a, if you get a digital video camera, a lot of those, again, the cable public access channels have those, and by law, those have to be available to the public to do projects with. A lot of the stations have that. If not, a lot of families have digital cameras in their homes nowadays. Again, they're not expensive. So I would say start trying to script a scene. Work with a scene at a time. Don't try and tackle the whole movie until you're ready for something like that. But you have to practice and start by applying those skills to the table. And once you do that, you know, your confidence gets up and you're able to show maybe a scene or two to a potential investor at a time, so they can see your vision and see you can handle, you know, the directing aspect and the producing and controlling actors to get your performance. So it's a step-by-step process, but, you know, starting somewhere. That's one of my biggest pieces of advice I give out. Just start somewhere, and you'll be amazed at where you might finish.
All right. When you how did you come about putting together the cast for Pieces of a Dream? Because my favorite character, honestly, my favorite character is the mother,
mm-hmm.
and the painter, because he played that role very well. You know, he played the disturbed role very well, and the mother played the emotional. You know, I'm not going to tell the movie, but, you know, how did you come about picking out casting out those actors and actresses?
Sure. I mean, what we do, again, I do all of my casting in Chicago. We rent out a facility called Act One, which is downtown in the Loop. And we have a two-day audition process, Friday and Saturday. We put out a casting call about 2 or 3 weeks in advance in the various trade newspapers, and then also send out information over the Internet. So we try to get the word out to a lot of the colleges and schools and the trade papers. And what it ends up being is what we call almost like a cattle call. There's a gang of people that descend on the city of Chicago over that weekend. And basically they come downtown, and it's a long line that wraps around the building, and they come in one at a time. You have 5 minutes to basically, you know, read over two scenes, and then you basically act the scene out, you know, read the lines. And we record you on film, so we have something to review your performance with. And then we give them one scene where they can just do kind of like an impromptu performance of their own choice, of their own choosing. And that's how we kind of evaluate our talent. So we end up getting people from all over the country. And that to me, that kind of raises the bar in terms of the competitive natures and levels of people. And you get the best of the best. So that's how we cast. I mean, from the lead actors or actresses down to the extras. And we try to get that opportunity for all to, you know, come and show their skills.
All right. Carla, did you have another question for Mr. Skinner?
Yes, I heard you say earlier in the show that I guess directing and filmmaking was all around you. But what made you pursue it after you left home and left your mother? You know, she cut the apron strings. What made you pursue it as a man, and especially as a black man?
Oh, definitely.
Because we have so few. Let me say so few known, because I know we probably have more, but we have so few known, like the Tyler Perrys, the Spike Lees.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you, what gave you that drive, that desire to pursue directing?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I mean, I have a deep-seated faith in God. I mean, God planted the seed in me. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing on this side. So that's where I need to give credit to first. But from that point on the humanistic side, I was just driven. I was always driven from a child up to want to do something in terms of molding and shaping minds. And I think when you're a writer or artist or any type of individual that has people that are watching your work, you need to be responsible to, you know, to some degree, you need to take responsibility for that. So I always wanted to put myself in a position where I had a platform to speak from and at least be able to do positives. As you said, there's not many of us that are out there that are in what I would call influential roles where we can really make a difference, like your Obamas. So that drive was what kind of kept me going, that inner drive to be, you know, the best, to be what I say, the people's champ, to a degree. And again, the only way you can do that is by doing what we're doing now, accessing the people. So So that's what I try to, again, tell kids, you know, have that inner drive first. And then from there, there's always people that see that in you and will reach out and kind of nurture you along the way. I had that just like, you know, any other kid typically, you know, bumps into someone in their life that will see that and kind of nurture it along the way and try to help them the best they know how. So that's
now,
what happened.
What do you think now in 2008, you know, a lot of stuff is missing from TV. Like, you know, years ago when I was growing up, it was comedy. Everybody, I mean, every time you turn on TV, it was something funny on TV. Martin Married with Children. You had Cheers. Golden Girls. You had a lot of stuff now, and TV has changed. Now it's all about nobody knows no more good comedy on. There's numbers, you know, cop shows and reality TV, and even the movies now are starting to be somewhat stagnant. The same types of thing. What do you think is missing in Hollywood, and how do you feel that you're going to benefit? Not necessarily benefit. What are you going to bring to the theater, to the big screen, that is missing right now, us as African Americans need, but just people in general?
Sure. I mean, to kind of expound on that, man. See, I've danced with Hollywood. I've had the opportunity and the privilege to dance with Hollywood, but I really choose not to, because if you ask me, from having a bird's eye seat out there and being able to see and talk to people behind the scenes at studios, there's not a lot of creativity in Hollywood, and I'm just being honest with you and the listeners. There's really not a lot of creativity going out there. That's why you see so many sequels. You see so many movies. Look at them, like the number one movie this week, Get Smart. Get Smart is a spinoff of a 60s comedy series, you know. So it's not like a brand new idea. They're just retreading all these old ideas. You know, The Incredible Hulk, all of these superhero movies. We saw that stuff growing up. You know that. You know, we all saw that. But
we get kind of tired of Batman, too.
exactly. How many Batmans and Hulks and so forth can we really, you know, get down with? And on the tip of comedy, you know, sure, they shove comedy down, you know, African-Americans' throat all day long because they think that's all we do is laugh. But at the same time, we think, too, you know. So, they're, you know, don't disrespect the culture. But that's what Hollywood does. And the thing with Hollywood, with not having a whole lot of creativity floating out there, they retread what they think is a million-dollar idea. So that's why you get all these sequels that are not really creative. They're scared to take what they call a risk, you know. But we know as a culture that, you know, we support things that make us think, that entertain us, that make us laugh. I mean, we cry. We're a very diverse people, and Hollywood needs to start respecting that more. So I think it's just a lack of people that are in what I call the gatekeeper positions out there who can green light a movie. And when I say green light a movie, I'm talking about financing it from beginning to end and then getting it to that screen that we speak of and aspire for. But until we get more African-Americans like your Bill Cosby's or your Oprah's or your Spike Lee's in those key positions that understand our struggle, it's going to be an uphill battle, man. And that's what makes, you know, brothers like myself or your Tyler Perry's or your Spike Lee's that create their own avenues to get their messages and their word out to the audience. So it's going to be a battle.
Yeah. Do you feel like our people support each other enough? We do hit the movie that hits the big screen, like the recent movie, what was it called, The Great Debaters.
Oh, yeah.
I know that wasn't even on the big screen long before it went to DVD.
No.
And do you think we do enough supporting on our own with each other to keep the movement going, or do you believe we need to do a lot more to help each other out?
Personally, from what I've seen, man, we need to do more. I mean, we really need to do more, because when movies, and understand when I say this, like when movies hit the theaters, that first week is important to get out and show numbers, because if we don't, the studio execs, which are typically not mine or your shade of color,
right,
pull the movie, because they base everything off numbers. Everything is a numbers thing to them. Let them say it's a numbers game. But
right.
if you do look at some of the non-black movies that are out there, they allow those movies to gather legs. And when I say legs, I mean they give them 2, 3, 4 weeks to find an audience. but we have to show results immediately. So, yeah, we need to, you know, definitely do more in terms of supporting, you know, different movies like my movie, like, you know, Brother Tyler Perry or Brother Spike or any of the sisters that are out there that are putting it down, you know. Definitely, we need to support that.
Why do you think we, a lot of us, you know, some of us neglect to go check out, you know, our own films versus going to see Spider-Man 15? I mean, what keeps us, what do you think from your experience, mm-hmm. what keeps us from going to the movies and seeing the Great Debaters versus waiting for it on bootleg or waiting for it to climb on DVD? What do you think is in the movie or in the lack of maybe production or promotion that keeps us from going to the theater on the opening weekend, actually sitting down and taking a look into those type of movies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, if I can, I mean, I have to go political on you with that, man. I mean, because, you know, I believe we touched on it when we conversated about a week and a half ago. It's kind of what I like to call that Willie Lynch syndrome, that mentality
yeah.
of Willie Lynch. Man, Willie Lynch is alive, and it's still happening today. And what has happened, we as a culture, we've been brainwashed and conditioned into what we think should be acceptable, which is everything you talked about earlier, comedies, reality shows, you know, all of this stuff that they're shoving down our throat. And we accept it readily, and we blindly go and support those kind of movies. But when you get a movie like The Great Debaters, that'll come out, you know, and really make people think and challenge you but still entertain you, or you get an independent film like mine, you know, that comes out and makes you think. Well, you know, we kind of always think we can, I'll make time for that next week or the week after that, but we'll still spend our dollars and nickels on the Spider-Man 15s and the
right.
Batman 20s, you know. So it's that conditioning that, you know, that we have to support mainstream, and usually mainstream, again, is not like individuals like myself and yourself, you know, and that's the sad reality of it. It's just a complacency in our culture and a brainwashing that we need to really break, you know, and it can happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it can't happen, but we have to work on ourselves, you know, to really support those kind of, you know, projects.
Yeah, because certain I know a lot of movies over the years have gotten slept on. Like, it was a movie that came out with what's the actor's name? Don Jeter, I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
He had a movie. Yeah, he had a movie that a friend of mine brought me up on this movie called Talk to Me.
Oh,
and it was
yeah.
Right around the, yeah. It was right around the time he brought it to my attention when I first started this talk show on Blog Talk Radio, and he said, you ought to check this out. And I had never even heard of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Never
yeah,
even
yeah.
heard
yeah.
of it. And when I put that movie in, I was like, whoa, this movie's
yeah.
off the chain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you never heard about it in the theater. I ain't never even heard of that movie.
No, and it had a limited release, man. They snatched it before it got legs. And it's a great movie. It's a great, you're right on, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. I don't know, what is your opinion as far as what can the public, what can black people do to keep, do more support, you know, more support, and what do you think we need to do? How do you feel like we need to go about it? You know, because a lot of people tell you, I buy the bootlegs.
No,
I told somebody at my job. I told him, look, man, I don't buy bootlegs no more because I honestly feel I used to be a hip hop artist, and I would sure hate to, you know, to miss out on sales. I mean, at the end of the day, you still got to take care of your family. That's how you eat.
Oh yeah,
and I would hate to miss out on sales because I felt like I'll buy the bootleg versus going to the store and supporting that artist. Like, I go, when I'm out and about, just like I bought your stuff, I didn't know you from Adam. I'm
exactly.
going to support it anyway.
Exactly.
I'm going to do that because you want somebody to support you, you got to be able to support other people. If, you know, if you have somebody, it could be it's a karma thing. Do unto others, do unto others as you want to do unto you. If you want somebody to support you, you got to support the next man without even blinking. If you got to think about it, I don't know. You know how they do. You know how they
oh, yeah.
do it out here. I'm
oh, yeah.
cool.
Oh, yeah. That's how we do it.
You know?
That's how we do it. You know? You
yeah.
know it, man. You already know.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we don't, I mean, really, the bootleg, I mean, we don't need to do that. I mean, because you're cutting another man off at the knees or another woman off at the knees when you're doing that. It's kind of like the theory that I use is like, think of McDonald's. If somebody posted up outside McDonald's and started selling double cheeseburgers for 50 cents instead of a dollar. You know, McDonald's wouldn't stand up too long, and they'd make sure they shut that down. You know, and we look at the quality. You don't even know the quality you're getting when you're purchasing bootleg. You know, at least if you're buying it through traditional means or, you know, from direct, the people that are making the movie, per se, you know you're getting quality, the highest quality available on the market. So that kind of gives a bad name to the independent artists like myself because we get, you know, we get bootlegged, and obviously a Sony or a 20th Century or a Universal, they can sustain a bootleg hit a lot better than Ski Skitter and One Way Productions because I'm an independent. You know, and I don't have, you know, generations and generations of tobacco and cotton money. You know where I'm coming from. You know, mine is, you know, getting on the grind and making it happen and reaching out to the people the way so many of us have survived over the years. So, man, I'm standing on the backs of ancestors making this thing happen.
What is coming up next, Ski Skinner, and what can we expect from you in the future? From One Way Productions, what's next for you guys?
Oh, definitely, man. Like I said, what we're doing, I mean, we're continuing to bring conscience films out. Those can be comedies, dramas, romance stories, or whatever. We're always going to make people think, but we're going to entertain you along the way because I like to think of myself as that brother that's sitting in the audience, and this is my last $12 or $13, and I'm taking my woman out to the theater. I want people, when they get up out the seat, to feel that I gave them my all. I gave them blood, sweat, and tears and gave them a piece of me that they can leave with and feel good about spending that money, you know. So the next film we have lined up is a film called A Deeper Shade of Blue. And like I said, it's a murder mystery drama, and it's one of those intertwining circular stories that's going to revolve around two brothers, two literal blood brothers that live together, and they have, it's going to be like a domino effect created in this movie through a murder of one of the brothers, and we're going to see different decisions that caused this murder in retrospect, peeling the story back from 2 weeks ago to up to the present to which this murder takes place. So it's kind of a classic whodunit, but we're going to do it in a different style. So we start to peel back and look at people you think you know, but you really don't know them until you get behind those closed doors. So those are the kind of projects we bring in. We're definitely trying to, you know, entertain, change the game, raise the bar up is what I like to say, man.
Well, give everybody who probably missed out or just tuning in, give them how to get a hold of you or how to get to the website about the DVD and the soundtrack. Get that information out again one last time for us.
Most definitely. If you hit the people, hit the website. It's www.one-wayproductions.com. That's www.one-wayproductions.com. Or you can call the customer service toll-free number, which is 888-418-8637. Either way, you can place your order for the soundtrack or the film. You can get on the website, see the theatrical trailer, see what people thought about the movie in the theaters, hear what Roger Ebert had to say, and sample the soundtrack as well. There's 18 brand new tracks on there. You can sample all of that and, you know, pick up your copy. If you don't want the full soundtrack, you can download singles from the soundtrack to put in your phone or put on your iTunes. So we got you covered coming and going. We just ask for you to support this conscious film movement. Do your part and tell a friend to do the same thing. We giving love, man.
All right, that's what's up, man. We want to appreciate Ski Skinner for joining Issues of the Day Talk Radio. Thanks for, you know, calling in and talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Anytime, I mean, I recommend, And I don't do this unless I like something. But this movie right here is gonna keep you sitting down. You got to stay glued to the tube. You can't walk away from this movie. You're gonna miss something. It's a very good film. I can't wait to see more films. The soundtrack is nice quality. It's nice music on here. But you definitely want to check that out. I'm definitely gonna get into some more music while we have a little time left. But Ski, I want to thank you again for calling in.
How much
keep
love, man.
All right, well, keep in touch with you, brother. Great luck. God bless.
Thank you. And look forward to working, brother.
Oh, definitely. We're going to do some work together. I'm going to be in Chicago.
I knew it's coming. I see it coming, man.
Before Mr. Skinner gets off, can you give us just a brief, a heart-to-heart of why we should go get the movie? Why do you think that I should sit my son and daughter down to watch this movie?
Oh, most definitely. This film is about the things that are happening and plaguing not only the black community but the world community today. And if you watch this movie, again, I try to hold a mirror up to our face, because if you see how we're living and what we're doing and that dialogue is started, which this film was definitely sparking dialogue, that's how you start to get to those actions that will lead to solutions for these problems and issues that plague us. Instead of sweeping these taboo subjects under the rug, let's deal with them head up. And that's what I'm trying to do, but I do it in an entertaining fashion. But also, it's a tool that parents can speak with their children on. Single mothers can talk to, you know, other individuals and kind of share that pain, which will lead to the healing process. So it's a great tool, you know. If nothing else, when you see the movie, we all know someone that has gone through some of the issues that I'm putting out there in Pieces of a Dream.
I got a quick question. I know I feel ready to let you go, but I do have another question.
Sure.
With the distribution of this, just to get this film out even more, so have you ever thought about Blockbuster, Walmart, Target, et cetera?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever thought about those markets?
Oh, yeah. Well, with my first full-length feature, the movie called Vacant Lot, a lot of those distributors came at me, and that's what I was kind of speaking on earlier. I learned what to do and what not to do. But those markets are not really set up for the independent filmmaker to make it. Those markets are what I call bottom feeders. They kind of feed off of your ability and your talents, but they don't reward you for your effort. And
okay.
what I'm trying to do is show people an alternative way that you can distribute your movie just as effectively. You can still get it in the hands of the people, because we all have access to a telephone and an 800 number, and we have access to the Internet where you can see what you're getting before you get it. And that's what the studios don't necessarily want me to be saying to people, that, you know, the average man can do what I'm doing. If you have the drive, the desire, and the talent within you, you can do the same thing. We can all access this and support each other. But Hollywood wants, you know, they always want to paint that picture that it's impossible for us to climb the mountain. And we all know that's a lie. You know, Brother Malcolm said that years ago. We know. We know what we can do. But collectively, we can move a mountain, but it has to be collectively, being that key word. So that's what I try and do. I mean, my goal and my message is one of empowerment, if for lack of a better word. It's really about empowerment. And that's what I try and bring to the people and my brothers and sisters across the world.
All right, man. That's what's up, man. Ski Scanner.
No
this
doubt.
Is the Day Talk Radio. We want to appreciate everybody for listening in. Definitely, if you want to ask me any more questions about Ski, you can always email me, issuesofthedayyahoo.com, or go to the website, blogtalkradio.com/issuesoftheday. Once again, I want to thank you. I'm going to end the show off with another song. So, Ski.
Right on.
Appreciate you. Going to holler at you. Caller, I want to appreciate you for your questions. And we're going to end the show. Hey, no problem, Ski.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to end the show with a song called Be Happy from the Drunken Monkey. Issues of the Day Talk Radio.
Listen up, cause I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Listen up, cause I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Listen up, cause I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Now check it. I need some time, I wanna ease my mind. I need some time, I wanna ease my mind. I need some time, I wanna ease my mind. I need some time, I wanna ease my mind.
Hey yo, check it. It don't matter what y'all say about me. Backstab me or you can doubt me. Kiss my ass, I say that shit proudly. Cause in the end, I'ma always be happy.
Happy.
I'ma always be happy. Don't let problems get you, be happy. Breathe in, breathe out and be happy. Be grateful for what you got and be happy. Everybody wanna rap and wanna get signed. Everybody want their name on a dotted line. Everybody struggling with some hard times. Everybody got a hood where a nigga died. Everybody gave up and don't like to try. Everybody hates storms but love the sunshine. Like Roy Ayers, you should just learn to vibe. Because everybody got stress on their mind. Everybody want peace but it's hard to find. Everybody got anger built up inside. Everybody want someone that's on their side. Everybody
born heat, cause it's cold outside. It don't matter what y'all say about me, backstab me, or you could doubt me. Kiss my ass, I say that shit proudly. Cause in the end, I'ma always be happy,
happy.
I'ma always be happy,
happy.
Don't let problems get you, be happy,
happy.
Breathe in, breathe out, be happy,
happy.
Be grateful for what you got and be happy.
Happy.
Now you could be dead, you could have been shot,
shot.
You could have been Biggie, you could have been Pop.
Pop.
So with all that complaining, you just need to stop.
Stop.
Cause you never know when your heart gonna stop. You never know when your casket gonna drop.
Never
you never know who's crooked just like the cop. No matter what you going through, you just can't stop.
Don't stop.
No matter what you go through, don't stop.
Don't stop.
Fuck buying ice, get you a land of crop. Escape the system with a plan and plot. Instead of being empty like a vacant lot.
Come on.
And from the bottom to the top, don't you stop.
Don't stop.
Don't procrastinate, cause I wrote this for you.
For you.
Cause I can relate what you going through.
Yeah.
And God bless the child that had lost his faith. And now he believe in selling a mixtape.
No matter what y'all say about me,
yeah.
Backstab me, or you can doubt me.
Come on.
Kiss my ass, I say that shit proudly. Cause in the end, I'ma always be happy.
Happy.
I'ma always be happy,
happy.
Don't let problems get you, be happy,
happy.
Breathe in, breathe out, be happy,
happy.
Be grateful what you got and be happy,
happy. I wanna ease my mind, I need some time. I wanna ease my mind,
I need some time.
I wanna ease my mind,
I need
to find peace cause I don't wanna cry. I need some time, I wanna ease my mind.
Come on.
I'm tired of depressing, wanna ease my mind. I'm tired of stressing, wanna ease my mind. I'm tired of crying, wanna ease my mind. I need some time, I wanna ease my mind. I need some time, I wanna ease my mind. I need some time, I wanna ease my mind. I need to find peace, cause I don't wanna cry. I don't wanna cry.
Yeah, that was music from the soundtrack, Pieces of a Dream. Hey, man, anybody who does not have that movie, I suggest, I'm personally suggesting to you that you go to the website that he told you and pick that DVD up. Buy the soundtrack. It's good music. It's a great movie. I'm looking forward to more movies. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Tune in Monday again, same time, same channel. And like I always say, love each other as you expect to be loved. God bless.